Good evening, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernall. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development recently released preliminary estimates for June 2026, highlighting a period of steady growth and robust participation in the state's labor market. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, Wisconsin's employment reached 3,030,100 people, marking a notable increase of 6,000 over the month and a substantial rise of 16,600 compared to the previous year. This growth is further evidenced by the state's labor force participation rate, which ticked up to 64.5%. This figure remains a point of strength for the Badger State, sitting 3 percentage points higher than the national participation rate of 61.5%. Simultaneously, the total number of non-farm jobs in the state climbed to 3,041,000, adding 2,400 positions since last month. Wisconsin's unemployment metrics continue to outperform national averages. The state's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate settled at 3.3%, which is 0.9 percentage points lower than the national rate of 4.2%. These statistics underscore a competitive and expanding economic landscape for Wisconsin workers as the summer season progresses. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee met Tuesday, July 14th, to address several critical county initiatives and financial matters. A major highlight of the session was the discussion regarding the creation of an ad hoc committee tasked with assisting in the formation of an EMS district. Supervisor Frank introduced the proposal, noting that the committee will be appointed in July, with meetings slated to begin in August. It was emphasized that membership in the district remains voluntary for municipalities. Following a general discussion, the committee voted unanimously to adopt the resolution. In another significant action, the committee approved the 2026 Computer and Hazmat Equipment Grant. Josh Elder explained that this annual grant provides for new equipment with a local county match of $2,000, and the motion to adopt passed without opposition. The committee also engaged in a lengthy discussion regarding health insurance options for county employees. Administrator Trish Clemens detailed the county's exploration of moving from the state of Wisconsin's Employee Trust Funds plan to private carriers. While the ETF provides numerous plan options, the county's ability to negotiate premiums or plan coverage is restricted under the current agreement. Conversely, an outside vendor might offer greater control over costs and specific coverage. A survey has been conducted among employees, and the results are being reviewed as the county approaches a September deadline to decide on its participation in the state plan. No formal action was taken during this meeting, but the results of the employee survey will be forwarded to the administrator for further review. Other matters addressed included the approval of several resolutions, such as the creation of a new economic support lead position to ensure state compliance and the canceling of stale tax certificates and county checks. The committee also voted to forward to the full county board a resolution authorizing the transfer of a land and water conservation fund grant and property to the Richland School District. Additionally, Supervisor Caro was designated as the official point of contact for the county board regarding the proposed future electric transmission line project. The meeting concluded with a closed session to confer with legal counsel regarding potential litigation before adjourning to July 27th. The City of Richland Center has scheduled its monthly large item and yard waste collection to begin Monday, July 20th. For the large item pickup, residents are advised to have all eligible materials at the curb by 6 a.m. Republic Services crews will conduct a citywide sweep, but because this is not a multi-pass service, they will not return to any area once the initial collection is complete. Each address is limited to 5 items, and every item must weigh less than 50 pounds and be manageable by a single person. Certain materials are strictly prohibited, including tires, hazardous waste, construction debris, yard waste, and appliances containing Freon. If residents have oversized items or more than the allowed limit, they must contact Republic Services directly to arrange for a private pickup at their own expense or transport the materials to the facility located in Boscobel. Simultaneously, the city's monthly yard waste collection will also commence on the morning of July 20th. Yard waste, which includes leaves, garden waste, branches, and brush, must be placed at the curb by 7 a.m. To ensure collection, brush and limbs must be no longer than 6 feet and no wider than 6 inches in diameter, stacked in manageable piles with the butts facing the curb. While the city will collect leaves and grass clippings, they must be placed in open containers or biodegradable bags, as items in plastic bags will be left behind. City crews will empty containers and return them to the curb for the residents. It is important to note that lumber, concrete, rocks, soil, sod, and other landscaping materials do not qualify as yard waste and will not be removed. To assist in keeping the community clean and safe, the city asks that residents ensure no vehicles are parked in a way that blocks access to items scheduled for pickup. In a joint meeting held in the City Council chambers in Richland Center Wednesday evening, the Richland Center City Council and Utility Commission gathered to consider a significant proposal regarding the community's future energy stability. Mike Peters, representing WPPI Energy, delivered a presentation outlining a request for member utilities to extend their wholesale power agreement by an additional 18 years, pushing the commitment well beyond the current 2055 expiration date. The proposal received strong local support, with the Utility Commission providing a unanimous recommendation for the extension. Following this lead, the City Council also granted unanimous approval for the contract, with Alderpersons Rachel Schultz and Brad Wegner not in attendance. This decision ensures that Richland Center remains a part of the WPPI collaborative, maintaining local control and reliable service for the coming decades. The primary driver for this extension is the need for long-term planning and financial stability. As a low-cost leader among regional utilities, WPPI Energy requires a longer time frame to support the typical 30-year financing necessary for major generation resources and transmission investments. With future energy needs already becoming visible, the current 2055 deadline was deemed too short to manage the significant capital projects required to maintain competitive electric rates and a diverse power supply. This commitment allows WPPI to continue its track record of providing highly competitive rates through strategic investments, such as its ownership stake in the American Transmission Company. The approval process for other member communities is currently underway, with a target for all member approvals set for late 2026. The entire process is expected to reach its final deadline by February of 2027, securing a stable energy future for all participating municipalities. The quiet morning in the township of Ironton was shattered on Wednesday when a devastating collision claimed the life of a young community member. At 8:51 a.m., emergency responders were called to Highway 58 near Raybuck Road following reports of a severe traffic crash involving a motor vehicle and an Amish buggy. According to the preliminary investigation by the Sauk County Sheriff's Office, a 2023 Ford F-350, driven by an 81-year-old man from Viola, was traveling northbound when it struck the horse-drawn buggy from behind. The buggy was being operated by a 13-year-old girl from Laval. Despite the fact that the buggy was clearly marked with lights and a slow-moving vehicle placard, and the young operator was wearing a high-visibility reflective vest, the impact caused catastrophic damage to the vehicle. Tragically, the teenage girl was pronounced deceased at the scene by arriving medical personnel. In a small mercy amidst the tragedy, the horse pulling the buggy appeared to be uninjured. The driver of the truck remained at the site of the crash and is reportedly cooperating fully with law enforcement as detectives work to understand the circumstances surrounding the incident. The highway remained closed for several hours as the Sauk County Sheriff's Office, assisted by Cazenovia Fire, Cazenovia EMS, and the Sauk County Highway Department, conducted a thorough investigation of the scene. While the names of those involved are currently being withheld, the investigation remains ongoing. Eugene Spears, a 42-year-old resident of La Crosse, has been sentenced to 6 years in federal prison, followed by 5 years of supervised release. This sentencing follows his guilty plea to the charge of possessing 50 grams or more of methamphetamine with the intent to distribute. The conviction stems from an incident on February 28, 2025, when law enforcement stopped Spears in Ferryville, Wisconsin, and discovered over 250 grams of methamphetamine intended for sale. At the time of his arrest, Spears was out on bond for a separate state drug case. In handing down the sentence, Chief U.S. District Judge James D. Peterson noted that while Spears' addiction influenced his actions, a significant sentence was necessary due to his lengthy criminal history and the escalation of drug quantities involved. The case was investigated by a collaborative effort from the Prairie du Chien Police Department, Crawford County Sheriff's Office, City of La Crosse Police Department, and the Wisconsin State Patrol. This prosecution is part of Operation Take Back America, a nationwide Department of Justice initiative targeting illegal immigration, cartels, and transnational criminal organizations. Vital statistics right after this.